I mean, every PR I've set has been behind a wheelchair with my brother, you know, and absolutely. I'm 100% a better athlete because of him. He was already something that motivated me my entire life and every area of my life. Kyle talks about wanting to leave things better. He made me want to be a better person.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's John here. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Fueling the Pursuit, presented by UCAN. The voice you just heard was that of Brent Pease, the older brother to Kyle Pease, two brothers who do triathlons, including the Ironman distance, as a tandem. Brent and Kyle are many things: brothers, Ironman triathletes, and philanthropic leaders. What makes their athletic feat so special is their partnership as brothers, committed to a journey meant to inspire everyone they meet along the way. Kyle, who has quadriplegia with spastic cerebral palsy, uses a wheelchair full-time and competes with his older brother Brent in endurance sports. Just as their memoir title states, their story is a reflection of passion, brotherhood, and relentless determination. Now, it's easy to assume that Brent is the one who pushes and inspires Kyle, but the reality is they seem to inspire each other equally. Their story and this conversation will reinforce the notion that sports is a powerful change agent, empowering all who participate, and that we are more unlimited than we often allow ourselves to imagine. Before we get into this episode with Brent and Kyle, I want to take a moment to introduce UCAN and this podcast to our newest listeners. UCAN is a go-to nutrition product of choice for so many elite athletes, but even UCAN knows that true success is about so much more than how you fuel your body. It's about how you fuel your passion, your motivation, and your mindset. And that's why this podcast is going to take you inside the minds of Olympians, elite athletes, coaches, and trainers to better understand what drives them to constantly push to achieve new personal bests. We're so excited to take you guys on this journey, and we hope we can give you a little more fuel as you work towards optimizing your own performances, both in sport and in life. Now, on to the episode with Brent and Kyle.
Today's guests are Kyle and Brent Pease. Kyle and Brent are the founders of the Kyle Pease Foundation, whose mission is to improve the lives of people with disabilities through sports. It was born out of their incredible journey in which Brent and Kyle teamed up to tackle finishing an Ironman together. They now compete together, driving each other to sustain and finish the grueling 15-hour events, and they've developed a unique partnership and a greater purpose to their training, and we can't wait to dive into that with them today. Kyle and Brent, thank you so much for being here. It's so great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Yeah, we're so excited, you know, having learned about your story. Obviously, there's so much to your story that would be great to highlight, but there's some key things that we'd love to talk about in the UCAN podcast. And one of those things is mindset, you know, and so we're really excited to dive into what you guys are thinking about, what your thought process is, what your mentality is going into these grueling events. We'd love to start off just by getting to know you guys a little bit and talking about the state of things for you guys in terms of what's going on right now for you, and to get to know a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I'm the older brother, so I always go first and take over from Kyle. But the state of where things are right now, give me some racing. I'm ready to run. Ready to feel like we're moving. It was warm and sunny where we were today. It was one of the best runs I've had in a while. It just felt so good. But yeah, I mean, Kyle and I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, 2 years apart, and we've been lifelong athletic fans. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but we really stumbled into this endurance sports world much later in life. I mean, we were football, baseball, basketball. And what we realize now, and we talk about now looking back on it, is that we were always trying to include Kyle in the things that we were doing, but we always had to change the way we did it. So, you know, big sport family and now big endurance family.
I loved one of the things that you guys said in one of the videos that I stumbled across and was watching. You guys mentioned something about growing up on SportsCenter.
Yeah, we definitely grew up on SportsCenter back in the day with the late Sports Scott and Rick Eisen.
And Dan Patrick.
Yeah. Where they will play every hour. So by the third or fourth time, Brett and I, along with my twin brother Evan, we would memorize the lines and we would just repeat it. And watch it over and over again. So instead of cartoons, we definitely was big Sports Center fans, and that became our cartoons every morning.
That's pretty much me too, to be honest. I watched SportsCenter. I would watch the same SportsCenter from the night before in the morning and just refresh myself on everything that I had already seen.
There wasn't the internet. Like, there wasn't,
that's right.
You watch your phone. I find myself now wanting to turn it on. I've got two little kids. I've got a 5 and a 3-year-old, and I find myself to turn it on because I want them to just have that in the background instead of even me looking at my phone.
Yeah,
sure.
We'd go to bed and we'd watch the 10 or 11 o'clock when we were old enough. And then you'd wake up the next morning and you'd watch the same highlights again. It was the highlight. It was the highlight reels. You had to see it.
It was the only chance you got too. Sometimes if you missed the highlights that night, they might not show those again. Like you said, there's no internet to just go watch it again. So it was like must see TV for me as a big sports fan. Like the last thing I wanted to know was that I didn't want to show up at school the next day and have my friend say, "Did you see so-and-so's dunk last night?" And I'd be like, "No, I didn't watch SportsCenter." You know, that would be terrible. So
Yeah, it was totally the taboo thing if you did it as a kid growing up. I think especially in the late 80s, early 90s, throughout the 90s even, it was always on for my brother and I as well. And Ryan, I don't know if you remember, but Ryan and I went to UCLA together. We were housemates for a while. And I remember even in our apartment, I don't think we ever didn't have it playing in the background. Right, yeah. I think we had it on literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like if we were all home or anybody was home, that was the only thing that was on.
Yeah.
One of my roommates in college, his TV broke, and this was early on. So we were sharing the room and he would leave it on all day. And it was just on ESPN 24/7. And if we wanted to change it, we went in the other room and watched a different TV.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
We were afraid we'd lose SportsCenter if we turned the channel.
Brent, you mentioned that you guys always were playing sports, but had to change the sports for Kyle. And I think it'd be good to just explain really briefly, maybe, Kyle, you have cerebral palsy. And can you explain to our audience, everybody probably knows the name, but what exactly does that mean? How does that affect you?
Yeah, so there are many different forms of cerebral palsy within the family of CP. But my specific cerebral palsy is called spastic quadriplegia, which means that it affects all four of my limbs. So the part of my brain that kind of wires, you know, when to move and all that didn't fully develop for me. So I've been in a wheelchair my whole life. So what you do for yourself, you also do for me. Mm-hmm. From going to the restroom, to eating, to drinking water on the course, even help me with my weekend supplements. Somebody has to get that ready for me. So what you do for you, you also do for me.
But it's important for the audience that cerebral palsy is not a disease. It's a condition. Mm-hmm. And so with most conditions, they don't typically improve over time. And so that's why there's such a wide range within the term cerebral palsy, and that Kyle's specific form or his specific condition is that all four of his limbs are affected. There are some people with CP that you may never notice. And there are some people like Kyle who may also have some verbal issues, some seeing, maybe even some mental. It's such a wide spectrum. Mm-hmm. It's really a catch-all for people that had some of those development delays.
Well, one of the things I wanted to highlight is you can tell when Kyle's speech, but the thing that stands out to me is that mentally, it's not having an effect on Kyle. And so when you're out there, and we're going to get into all the stuff you're doing on the Ironmans, Kyle is experiencing the entire thing the same way you are mentally, in terms of the focus and how he has to endure all the stress of the entire event, right? It's not that he's just sitting there passively and you're experiencing it. He's fully engrossed in it, as just as you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that on race day, I have to be maybe a little bit more mentally prepared, because not only do I have to focus on the course, it carries bread, but I also have to make sure that, you know, my spasms in my gyrations are under control, to make sure that, you know, that doesn't interfere with what we're trying to do on the course. So I know I will have them on the course, but just to maintain, you know, stay quiet within my body and focus on the task at hand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And somebody, Kyle and I were talking with somebody recently, and they said, and it was almost an aha for us. I mean, we've been doing it for 9 years at this point. And somebody said, I can't imagine the mental energy that Kyle has to expel to not only take care of himself, but to take care of you, because the physical demands of carrying another human being wear on you mentally. And so I've quit thousands of races with Kyle. And he's had to pull me out of the depths over and over and over again. And we didn't think about it. I mean, Kyle looks like he got run over by a Mack truck when he gets done racing, just like the rest of us. But it's almost like he's been zapped mentally, because not only is he, like he said, not only is he dealing with his own body and his own mind, he's dealing with mine too.
Could I ask you a question about, this is for both of you. I'd love to maybe have Kyle answer it first, like the training, you know, actually getting ready for the event. What's the training like for you, both from a physical standpoint and also from a mental standpoint?
The training really takes a toll on me as well. I normally join Brent when we do a big event for about 10 to 12 weeks out.
Okay.
And we go out and we do a brick, bike or run or swim and bike. And for us, the hardest part for me is the bike, because I'm in an uncomfortable position. So we want to stress my body and put my body through the rigors of the bike to make sure that everything is as comfortable as it can be. Mm-hmm. Because when you race, nothing is comfortable. to focus on that and make sure that there are no pressure points, nothing that is too pain going. But yeah, I would say that I enjoy Brett 10 to 12 weeks out for about 20 hours on the weekend. So 10 wow. hours Saturday, 10 hours on Sunday.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, no, that's not easy, man. Oh my gosh.
But it's fun because we get to be together and there's not the pressures of racing. And, you know, we could almost flip the mics on you guys right now and get, you know, old training stories from UCLA and that, you know, some of those experiences. It was that bond that y'all were sharing, whether you were training for the same event or different, you were out on the track together, you were out there doing it. And that's the beauty of what Kyle and I now get to experience as adults that we didn't experience as kids. We couldn't go practice baseball together. We couldn't go do, you know, slam dunks. I mean, we had to lower the goal for me to dunk anyways, but we couldn't do that together because it was different for Kyle. With endurance sports, we can do it together. And when we first started this, you know, our coach, a guy by the name of Matthew Rose here in Atlanta, he was spot on that Kyle's got to get out there and train with you. And this experience is for him too. So to just ask Kyle to show up on race day, what's the fun in that? And how does he even get ready? You know, that one of those first races we did, I'll never forget. I was like, well, I need to call out the splits to Kyle. He doesn't even know how fast I can run or mm-hmm. how slow I could run if you ask him, but I'm calling out splits. And I think that race, I think I ran my first sub six, which was a huge deal. And I scream it out and Kyle yells, holy bleep and what? And, you know, and now we're laughing at each other. And he goes, can you sustain that? And the answer was no, I couldn't, but it was just a fun thing. And now Kyle's got his own bike computer and he's got his own watch going and we're talking about it. He's a student of this stuff too, but it helps the mental side. You know, for a lot of us, we have all these tools available. So the training experiences that we have together are some of the best memories that I have since we've been doing this, that we can go spend 20 hours in a weekend.
You know, what's cool too, is you had mentioned, Brent, in one of your videos, you had mentioned about how hard it is, right? In general, like the sheer volume of triathlons and Ironmans. But you said the thing that's kind of cool to you is, you know, those moments of breakthroughs and improvements that you experience throughout that buildup. And I'm curious if that's the same for both of you. It sounds like it, but is that a big part of the joy that you get out of this experience? It's not necessarily just the race day, which is obviously such a big deal, but how big of a role does just the experience of the buildup and the minor successes that you could experience throughout?
I think for me, the buildup is the best part about it. Because when you get to race day, you know, you got the nerves, you got 1,000 people coming at you at once with, what do you need? What do you want? You know, what can I do? And
right.
Sometimes it gets with me alone, you know. But on the buildup, like you said, it gives me a break out there with a couple volunteers to be our handlers. And so that's the process that it's fun, that I get to pick up on things that I can use on the race course to encourage Brett or to focus on my positioning, so that when I'm on the race course, I can shift my weight or, you know, focus on what I need to focus on. So the build up for me is the best part, because I get to be out there with one of the best guys I know. It was just laughing and joking. And then on race day, you know, you get the nerves, like I said, and it's a hot mess of splits. Yeah.
I love that phrase. That is awesome.
Well, Brent, it sounds like you guys aren't doing all your training together. So how do you approach this, knowing that you have a slightly different challenge than a typical triathlete, right? You have the challenge of finishing the distance anyway. That's hard enough for most people, but you have an extra challenge that you've taken on. So do you do anything, do you think, maybe different or unique? Do you have to approach it differently in order to be ready?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. I do a few different things. I do a lot of over distance training, save for running. But, you know, there'll be days where I'll do 2 10-mile runs the day after, ride for 6 hours, you know, so there's stuff like that. I do a lot of riding between 120 and 130 miles up in the North Georgia mountains. So it ends up being, you know, an 8 or 9 hour day in the saddle. So I'll do a lot of stuff like that to just really stress it. The challenge of endurance racing a lot of times is just managing that schedule when you're training, because it is so much to get ready for an event that could take, for Kyle and I, 14 to 16 hours. So a lot of it's just extra volume over what somebody else might be doing in a similar situation. And then I'll do a pretty focused weight program. You know, triathletes that compete at a high level, of course, they all are doing some type of strength. But for Kyle and I, that's critical, that if I'm not strong physically, it doesn't matter how long I can run or bike for. I've got to have that extra strength component. So there's a typically pretty big build over the winter, and then a pretty strong maintenance program that might look a little bit different than the average triathlete.
I guess I want to ask you a little bit about why the triathlon then, because you chose the triathlon. Seems like it poses some particularly difficult challenges given what you guys are trying to do. I have this memory in the past of a father-son combo who did marathons together. I think they were named the Hoyts, and they were very remarkable back when I was younger and, you know, had their presence in the space. But you guys take it to another level trying to do, you know, a full Ironman swim and bike. How did you guys decide that you wanted to do the triathlon? Was that your decision, Kyle?
sure, you know, going, we Brett first did his first Ironman in 2010. I would just hit to a halt, but not only what Brett did that day, but you know, the Tim O'Donnell of the world and all the other athletes that were really pushing it to the limit. And it reminded me of my life, because here I am sitting in a wheelchair going through so many ups and downs and having to depend on caretakers and family to take care of me. And I guess it really gets resonated with me, because when you're in a triathlon, as you both know, you go through so many ups and downs and peaks and valleys, and that's what really resonated to me, for me. So I wanted, it spoke to me. And then I got on Google and found a horse, and it was just an inspiration to me. And I don't use that word inspiration very often, but what the horse have done to pave the way for Brent and I and other teams is amazing. And they are the trailblazers for what all of us are trying to do now. So
yeah, I mean, Brian, I grew up swimming, and so it was kind of a natural thing for me. I started running to get back in shape. And then as I was getting in shape, I was getting bored with just running. So I just went back to the pool. I bought a bike. But as Kyle described, when he saw that first experience, it was this eye opener for him, this aha for him. As we got into it, we started with running too. We did a 10K. We trained for a short triathlon. And so we just tried all these different things. What we found is that really Ironman in particular really challenges Kyle. You know, we've learned through this. There was three boys growing up, all sports fanatics. Now we know who the toughest competitor was in our house, and it was Kyle. He never had the true outlet to showcase that, and Ironman does that for him. So for better or for worse, it's what we've gravitated towards, because a 5K, while it's fun and we can find ways to have those breakthroughs like we were mentioning earlier, in an Ironman, it's this long, gradual process to improvement. And that's Kyle's life. Like he said, he saw that in this 140.6 mile space, that it was just like what he goes through and has been going through his entire life. So it's, while we can carry ourselves that long, I think we're going to keep gravitating towards that distance.
Could you talk a little bit about at the onset when you guys just made the decision to get into triathlons and then eventually doing the Ironman distance, with the challenges that you guys had to face and overcome?
Yeah, I mean, just getting people educated, even with somebody like the Hoyts that had, you know, come before us and other teams, getting people to open their eyes. I still remember the 10K con I did, one of our first races. I emailed the race director, "Hey, I'm racing with my brother." And I'm sure he wasn't trying to be rude, but he came back and said, "Sure, no problem, but it's a 60-minute course cutoff." And I think Kyle and I did something like a 44-minute 10K that day. And
wow,
you know, I was feeling quite proud of myself and of Kyle. And I waltzed right by the race director and said, "Did we make it under the cutoff?"
Hey. I love it.
He's actually become a friend and has helped us at several races and is wonderful to our foundation. You know, but the biggest thing is awareness and just educating people that Kyle belongs on the course and that people like Kyle belong on a race course, that they should be included and that we can compete. So those were a lot of the hurdles we faced. We were really fortunate that with the Hoyts and with just a lot of people that we have here in our local community, that figuring out the equipment, figuring out training, places to train, a lot of those barriers weren't there for us. And that was a wonderful thing that we didn't have to think about. I mean, Kyle, I always pick up on it when he mentions it, but he always will say something about, you know, "Well, on race day, all these people are there asking me what I need and what I'm doing." I'm like, could you imagine everybody else hearing that and going, "God, I wish I had 12 handlers with me on race morning helping me take care of all that." But we didn't have to worry about all that stuff. And so what we really had to worry about was, how do I convince race director or the race that we belong and that we're going to compete in a safe and fun way too?
Yep.
You know, one of the things that stands out to me about the triathlon, and I don't know the details, but each leg, I believe, does have a cutoff, and it can make a big difference, especially at the end of a bike. Like if you haven't hit the time for the bike, you just don't get to do the marathon part of it, right? And so as you guys have, you know, you're not up there trying to do the whole thing in 9 hours, like whatever the fastest people are. In the beginning, how did that play into your guys's approach to going out there? I mean, I've read a little bit about this, but it sounds like this was a big stress point that you guys, not only did you enter, you had to make sure you were going to hit these marks, which were not a given at that time.
You know, I think that's what I love about our sport, is that I am held to the same standard as everybody else is. And I can tell you right now that we have had some close calls on the course. Our very first Ironman in Madison, Wisconsin, we made the bike cut off by 2 minutes. And I can tell you guys that, you know, if we would not have made it, I would have been the first one to celebrate let's pack up and go back to the hotel room. You know, like, I'm a student of the sport, you know, and it's very important that we follow the rules because I want to be treated just like everybody else.
Yeah, that stands out to me about you, Kyle, and obviously about your brother as well. One of the things that I love that it seems like you say quite often is that you always want to find out for yourself, how can you get better? You want to get better. You don't think about it any differently. That's your mindset.
Yeah, definitely. I think of my mindset every day. And this is the challenge that I carry myself every morning. I have a big old mirror in my room and I look at it every day. And I say, how can I leave this place a little bit better than I saw it yesterday? So that's my mindset, you know, is tackle the day head on and focus on the good stuff, focus on the love and the people that support you. And that's what I really try to focus on, because with all this COVID-19 stuff that is going on, it's real. And it can get you down very quickly. And I've had some really good days and I've had some really low days. You know, I didn't see breath for close to 3 months, and that's a lot. Although we talk every day, you know, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Somebody that you really care about. So, so it's a struggle, but I try to focus on the good things in my life.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Can I ask you, Kyle, when you're preparing for the race, there's a lot of techniques that elite athletes and a lot of athletes use, like visualization or mantras or some things that they do to keep themselves focused, to keep themselves prepared. Do you utilize those as you're preparing yourself for these races?
Yes. I don't really have a mantra. Well, I do, but it changes race by race. So, okay. But the main one that we go back to is from our favorite childhood book, The Little Angel That Could. I think I can, I think I can. So that is one of my most popular ones that I've said at multiple race sites. So that one, but it just depends on what's going on and how great it's feeling and whether I can get a good gauge on what's going on behind me. And then I come up with a plan, say a couple prayers, and then we're off.
Yeah, it just varies. And Kyle has this innate ability to just really understand people. I guess I'm doing a better job, I think, than I usually do. But, you know, sometimes it's hard when you're sitting in a wheelchair and you're not as loud to get drowned out by everything happening around you. And so I think Kyle's been observing people for a long time. So there's been races or training sessions where Kyle starts screaming and shouting at me because he can just kind of tell that's what the moment calls for. There's, you know, one of my favorites was we were doing a race in Florida and it was blistering hot. And all we could do was count to five. We couldn't think of something creative to say to motivate us. We couldn't think of anything else, but we were afraid that if we stopped running, that we were going to end up walking the whole race. This was a half Ironman, and Kyle would just count to five. And he would pause for a second and I would shout again and he'd count to five. And we could both tell it was working and we couldn't communicate any further past that. There was nothing happening. And sometimes he would wait like 7 seconds and I hadn't said anything. And then I would just shout out of the quietness again. So it changes constantly. But I think those mantras are so critical. Kyle's used them in his life pre-sports, you know, and he just talked about looking in the mirror and wanting to leave things better. And in the race, that part of Kyle comes out and it is part of what makes us successful. So I think Kyle's maybe downplaying it a little bit, but the power of those mantras to me and to him and to us as a team have carried us really far distances and sometimes at a decent clip too.
You know, there's something. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kyle.
No, I was going to say in the challenges that we have overcome have made us better, right? So all the awareness with the race directors, sometimes, you know, we get bad news, you know, of not being able to do a race or whatever the cases, you know, those make us stronger. It does make us rely on one another even more stronger. So the bond is so strong by the time we get to an event, we feel that we can tackle any obstacle, no matter how high it is. So that's what we focus on, is the challenges make us better and they grow our relationship even stronger.
There's one just observation, and that is that mantras only work if they're really meaningful for you in that moment. You know, a mantra that you use in training might not be helping you in the race. And it sounds like you guys have done a great job of finding what works in the moment that's meaningful, that's going to get you guys, you know, where you need to go. And I think that's a really critical thing. You can't really adopt somebody else's mantra. You have to sort of find one that works for you. But go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to say on that topic really quick, just like to share, to relate a little bit to that. So one of the funny things that I would do that really helped me out a lot, and I would just say to myself, it was in college when things kind of started to click for me before I broke 4 minutes in the mile and things really took off for me at an elite level. I convinced myself, and I would say this before every race, and it was probably like my junior year, my third or fourth year in college. I would say to myself, well, today, I know I'm going to do good. The question is not whether or not I'm going to do good, but how good I'm going to do. So I always kind of told myself I was going to have a good day, you know, and that always made me feel good. Like I didn't question, oh, is it going to be a bad day? Is it going to go wrong? I didn't even think about it. I didn't even give myself a chance to consider it. I just told myself it's going to be good. So I would just say that same thing at the race, maybe an hour or so before the race would go off. I would just repeat that, and it helped me out so much, you know, because it just kind of set the tone. But I don't know if that would work for everybody, but I just knew it made me feel good. And I ended up having a good day every time I said that. So I just stuck with it, you know? So it is those simple things. And I share it only because I want people to think, hey, you're right. Adjust it in the moment. It might be something different, or it might be something that might seem silly to other people, but if it works for you, use it.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mantras are simple. That's what makes them work.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've made a couple comments. One is that the triathlon resonates with Kyle for just the overall ups and downs of the experience. You've talked about his intuitive ability to sense what you need in the moment, and you've shared some of these examples. I'm struck by this fact that you, Brent, are a much better athlete because of Kyle, in the sense that Kyle seems to have this ability to draw the best out of you. And I'm wondering if you can comment on that.
I mean, every PR I've set has been behind a wheelchair with my brother, you know, and absolutely. I'm 100% a better athlete because of him. He was already something that motivated me my entire life and every area of my life. Kyle talks about wanting to leave things better. He made me want to be a better person. And it comes out on the race course too. You know, I mean, that first time, that story we told where I ran a mile faster than 6 minutes. I'd never done that at any point in my life. And it was like, I can do this. And there's Kyle who keeps saying, I know you can. I think you can. He knew it. And so, yeah, absolutely. The things that I've accomplished with Kyle are because of him too.
I think the thing that I really am moved by in terms of how you guys are approaching triathlon distance and the Ironman distance is the way that you talk about the distance in and of itself as a reflection of life and, you know, how you're taking the lessons from this and applying it to your lives. I would love to have you guys talk each separately about how this has improved your life, the quality of your life, the experiences that you're having, just the way that your overall outlook, the impact that these experiences you guys are having is having outside of sports.
I mean, it was a life-changing experience for me. I run a nonprofit foundation built around it now. I've made a career out of this. That first one, I think what I have realized now, looking back on what the last 12 years, 10 years of my life, is that those first few training sessions were this eye-opening experience that I could enjoy everything in life. You know, I had been working, I was partying a lot. And so I was just kind of struggling with a lot of things in my life. And a lot of it was just the way I was looking at them. And I had had this shining example. And so endurance sports, it was a reawakening for me to just be able to enjoy every day, enjoy what you're doing. You get to push these pedals today for 8 hours with your brother. You know, you get to laugh with him, you get to cry with him and enjoy these moments. And so it has been an immensely and lasting experience for me to be able to do that and to see the best in myself. So it's helped me improve as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a friend. It enriches everything that I do.
You know, I think a couple of years ago, guys, we were talking about mantras. And Iron Man mantra is anything is possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what was possible from an athletic point of view. I knew that, you know, there was wheelchair baseball out there and all those guys did. But until I knew what a triathlon was, it changed my outlook that I could do it. Not because my brother wanted me to do it, but because I wanted to do it.
Right.
Because I wanted to share my gift to not only show the world, show my community what was possible, but I had to prove to myself that it was possible. And so when I saw the possibilities that were out there, the sky was the limit. And I love it. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way now. You know, like, there are days that I wish I could get myself out of bed, and I know I have to rely on the caretaker.
Right, but, yeah.
But then again, you know, that's the life that I was called, you know, to live a life in a wheelchair with a broken body, but that broken body shows people that you can overcome your obstacles by your
outlook,
by your mindset that you put forth every day. So I'm a much better person because of triathlon, because it has shown me what is possible, not only on the race course, but in my own life.
I think that's the golden nugget right there. You know, because that's what I think we're all trying to understand in the conversations we're having on this podcast, is understanding that there's something deep down inside of all of us, right? And we're just trying to get to that. Because then once you tap into that, then you find out that not only in sport, but in life, there's so much more that's possible that we're sometimes not allowing ourselves to believe. And thank goodness for sport. It seems like it's just so important to you, Kyle, and to you, Brent, for that very reason, that it's the vehicle to get to that place within ourselves. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Can I ask you guys, you know, we've talked a lot about some of the general mentality stuff, but now you've been doing this for 10 years. I imagine that your goals and what you're trying to get out of the experience has changed, but can you talk us through what your goals are from a competitive standpoint for yourselves and what's influencing how you think about goal setting today?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question. And it used to be really easy for us to answer that because it was always the Ironman World Championships. So it was just Kona. That was what Kyle and I would send each other pictures of that. You talk about mantras. We used to text each other pictures of the finish line for years, mm-hmm. you know, sending each other these images back and forth. And so we were visualizing it. The mantra was in front of us. And it is a little bit harder now to keep reaching for those goals. Kyle and I were in Kona the year after we did it. And we were watching everybody compete, including a couple of teams like us, making an attempt to do what we had done. And Kyle said, could you do this again? And I said, absolutely. I just don't know if I'm ready for that level of suffering again, you know? And so that, you know, that, how many times can you go back to the well, right? I mean, you guys know,
yeah.
you know mm-hmm. pushing yourself, it pulls a little out of you too, you know? And it's hard to keep thinking of those goals and frame them. But I think the way Kyle and I look at personally, the way we like to look at it now is it is that I just want to be a little bit better today. I just want a little bit more out of this. And so would Kona be the same if we went back tomorrow? No, but it would be its own special experience in that it can be enjoyed, all of it, that same process, the training, the new mantras, the new things that motivate and inspire us. So we see it so much in sport that people keep trying to move the goal line. Well, this guy climbed Mount Everest, so I'm going to do it just a little bit faster. I mean, this guy broke the Olympic record, so I'm going to do it a little bit faster. But you know what? There's something to be said for just smiling when you run a 5K. There's something to be said for just enjoying being exactly where you are. Or as Kyle said, for him, you know, just being comfortable with being in a wheelchair because of what it's giving to him and to others around him. So, you know, the goal conversations are a little bit harder because there isn't just this one thing. There isn't the Olympics in front of us, but there is still this impactful, life-changing experience that we both want to keep chasing and enjoying.
I think there's so much truth in that, because with anything, there's only one person that wins the race. There's only one person that can hold the world record at a time, so on and so forth, right? Not everybody's going to win, you know? So if we make that the end all be all about these experiences, clearly from what you guys are sharing with us today, we're missing out on so much more.
Yeah.
And that's very sad, because you've said it, it's about perspective and shifting your perspective just slightly on your situation, on your circumstances, on opportunities that are in front of you, on even the challenges that are in front of you. If you could shift it just slightly, oh my goodness, what an amazing experience you can actually enjoy. And that might not include setting a world record or winning the race, you know? And so I love that as a big takeaway from today's conversation.
You know, Kyle and I did this little 5K the week before everything shut down for COVID. Uh-huh. And we had an absolute blast together. We were training for the Boston Marathon. So I said, well, here's what we're going to do, Kyle. I'm going to show up before the race and I'm going to run 8 miles. And then you and I are going to run a 5K really hard. That'll be my intervals or my tempo for the day. And then we're going to finish off with whatever's left. So we ended up needing about 5 more miles or something together after all that. And we just had this absolute blast today. And imagine if we had showed up to that race in a bad mood, or like, 5Ks aren't fun, why can't we just do an Ironman? But instead, we just showed up committed to just have fun together. And if I had told Kyle that might be the last time we raced together for over a year, you know, and I'm so happy looking back on that day. The best part, and we still laugh about, is it was a very small race. We were the overall winners of this 5K. And as the guy went to hand us the trophy, it disintegrated in his hand and fell apart on the ground. So we don't even have the trophy. But I mean, how many people go to the Boston Marathon and they don't set the PR, they don't win, they don't do the thing that they thought that they were supposed to do, instead of just realizing that they're doing this incredible thing that not a lot of people get to experience? Kyle and I did what only one other team had ever done in Kona, Hawaii, and we smiled and loved as much of that day as we could. And it's hard to do. Like you were saying, John, like that goal doesn't have to be just it, you know?
Yeah.
It can be all of the things that surround it, and that in of itself can be your mantra, can be your mindset. Just enjoy all these moments that we're sharing.
You know, I think Brett said something that really hit home, and we always talk about it. But it's commitment, right? And
yeah.
I think that one more mindset that we share is, you know, the cards that I would dealt are not ideal. But we have to play like a winner every day. So yeah. Whether it's a 5K or whether it's an Ironman, you got to be committed to it. You got to love it. And you might not set a PR, or you might not even make it to the cutoff, but you have to be committed, and you have to love what you do and love the people that you're around. And I think that's a door that Triathlon has opened for both of us.
Can you guys
that's
talk
so great.
Really briefly about the Kyle Pease Foundation and what you guys are doing today to expand the same kind of opportunities for other athletes out there?
I think you guys have probably figured out that brevity is not our thing, especially a couple of guys who like doing 15-hour endurance races. But no, I'll keep this compact. I mean, we set out to improve the lives of people with disabilities through sports, you know, it's Sports Center, now Endurance Sports. And Kyle wanted people to experience what he was experiencing. He wanted them to find their finish. And we've been really fortunate that we're able to do that. We've been doing it. This is our 10th year. So as long as Con, I've been racing, we've been trying to help other people experience it. And we're just really proud. Even with what happened last year, we had 64 individuals cross over 300 finish lines in the very short period of time we had. And so it's just really special to watch them find their confidence, to find what makes them happy, and to see the way sport can impact their lives. I mean, we talked about it briefly and we don't have to get into it, but the foundation hired a couple employees with disabilities, and that confidence started with racing that gave them the ability to say, you know what, I can do more than just sit in my wheelchair. So it's about creating impactful and lasting change.
And John and Brian, I don't know if you have kids, but one of the cool things for me is to allow our families and our athletes to be the athletes so that they can forget about their challenges for an hour or 2 hours or whatever it might be. And for the parent or the loved one, that they could be the soccer mom, or they could be the soccer grandfather, and they could cheer their athlete on, and to see the smiles when the athlete crosses the finish line, that's what makes it all worth it, Brent and I. Yes, we have a Mickey, yes, we have a Vegan, yes, we rely on donors to, you know, help fund our program, but at the end of the day, when they cross the finish line and they get a medal and they get to share their medal with their schoolmates the next day, that's why we do what we do.
Kyle, so great, guys. I absolutely love that. And having some relatives who actually suffer from cerebral palsy and other disabilities, being able, like, I know that they've had similar experiences when they've been able to participate in a sporting event as a competitor. Yeah. And it has been such a memorable experience for them, and transformational in some cases, the way they think about themselves differently. And I love what you're doing. Our last question, I want to finish with this. I'm going to ask it to you first, Brent, and then I'm going to give Kyle the last word on this one. But we named this podcast Fueling the Pursuit, and you guys have pursued success in the Ironman for a decade now. What piece of advice would you give to our audience to help fuel their mindset so that they can excel in what they're working on?
You definitely need UCAN to fuel, for starters. But I mean, the biggest thing for me is that when that idea pops in your head that scares you, is that's when you need to take the first step, and don't stop walking towards it until you get there, because that's when you start unlocking those things. I love the way, John, you said it about, you kind of unlock that thing that you didn't think was possible, and then you realize what's been opened up to you. So when that idea pops into your head, it's there for a reason, and start walking towards it.
Yep.
I say the only thing that is stopping you is you. And once you remove yourself, the sky is the limit. So if it is a 5K, if it's starting to cook, or whatever your goal is, find it within you to do it, because the mindset, once you do it, then you can carry your goal with your mindset. So just go after it, enjoy the day, enjoy the moment, and enjoy each other.
Kyle and Brent, thank you guys so much for joining us on this podcast. And I can't wait for everybody to be able to hear this. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And just to point it out, guys, I mean, there's so much to your amazing story. We just touched on one aspect of it, but definitely highly recommend everybody, you know, check out your foundation's website, watch as many videos with you guys as possible. Your story is so important. And Brian and I can't thank you enough again for joining us today and sharing some great insight into what makes you guys tick. Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Fueling the Pursuit, presented by UCAN. For both athletes and active people, controlling blood sugar is the key to optimizing focus, performance, and recovery. Thankfully, UCAN has developed a patented ingredient to deliver long-lasting energy while stabilizing blood sugar levels. So to properly fuel your pursuit, both with the right nutrition and with the right food for thought, make sure to visit ucan.co/podcast to subscribe to our podcast show, to see our current lineup of upcoming guests, and of course, to learn more about UCAN's amazing products.